Welcome to worship today. Did you get some rain last night? A little bit. Jerry, you're looking awful spiffy today. Yeah. Do you wear those shirts down in Florida? Yeah, a lot of people do. Yeah. Do they wear those shirts over in Arizona? No. They wear them in Malmo. Okay, I'm going to have to get one of those. Yeah, welcome. Hey, let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or beside you, take and introduce yourselves, okay? Everybody, every once in a while, someone sits in that hot seat. Yeah. Say, today we're celebrating Dee Olson's 90th birthday, so they would like to invite everyone to join us for coffee and birthday cake. We'll sing happy birthday then, okay, Dee? 90 years old. Holy moly. Yeah, holy moly. Can you say that in church? I guess so. I think you can be responsible for all the announcements. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh, by the way, today is Holy Communion, and I want to invite everyone is welcome at the table of our Lord, all right? Some churches, you wonder, so just want to let you know everyone's welcome at this table. Let's begin with prayer. Oh Lord, what a wonderful beginning to a new day. Fresh air, fresh water. You know the troubles on the lake. Help us to leave those troubles outside. You know people worrying about animals in Africa. We know we're called to care for your good earth. Help us to be good stewards. You know the heartaches of the people who gather here and the joys. And you travel with us everywhere. You know us inside and out better than we know ourselves. So today, allow us to trust in you and to invite your Spirit to come in, that you might be our God and we might be your people. Bless us with your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Morning Has Broken. Let's rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess together. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Let's join in the prayer of the day. O God, eternal goodness, immeasurable love, you place your gifts before us. We eat and are satisfied. Fill us and this world in all its need with the life that comes only from you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises.
Signs of grace. Thank you, choir. The reading today, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, is from Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 1. Christians share fundamental unity and diversity. Our unity consists in the one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. Our diversity is expressed in various forms of ministry, whose goal is equipping the saints and building up Christ's one body. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all of us came to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together in every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. The reading is from Psalm 78, beginning with verse 23. We'll read it responsively. God rained down manna from heaven, so mortals ate the bread of angels. So God commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, raining down manna. God rained down manna from heaven, so mortals ate the bread of angels. So mortals ate the bread of angels. God provided for them food enough.
The Lord caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and powerfully let out the south wind,
raining down flesh upon them like dust, and flying birds like the sand of the seas. So the people ate and were well filled, for God gave them what they craved. God rained down manna from heaven, so mortals ate the bread of angels. Please stand for the gospel reading.
The Holy Gospel this morning is found in the 6th chapter of St. John. Many of the 5,000 people Jesus fed in the wilderness continued to follow him throughout the countryside. Jesus challenges them to consider the real nature of their quest. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, "Just As I Am," 592. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we have a lesson that talks about Jesus being the bread of life. Basically what he's saying is that he is the true bread that fills the soul. The bread that we eat fills our body, but if you have emptiness in your lives, he's saying, immerse me, take me, follow me, talk to me. Listen to me, and he will give us meaning and purpose and wholeness. I've got a brother who's not the greatest shopper. I mean, when he first got married, his wife asked him if he'd go to the store and get some butter and milk. Well, he brought back a bottle of buttermilk. Another time, she wrote out a list for him, asked him if he'd pick these things up, so he brought back 1 dozen eggs, 2 sacks of flour, 3 boxes of cake mix, 4 sacks of sugar, and 5 cans of that frosting you put on. She says, "I never should have numbered them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Lately, Still the same thing. She says, would you go get a loaf of bread? We're going to make some sandwiches. We don't have enough bread for the family. He says, yeah, I'll go get it. He says, now you'll get the bread, won't you? He says, yeah, I'll get the bread. So he goes in and you know how they put the bread way back on one side, far from the entryway, while he's wandering over there. And he goes by the cereal things. He says, oh, yeah, I ate my last bowl of honey Cheerios, whatever that is. So he gets the Cheerios, and then he thought, oh, yeah, we're down on milk, too. So he goes and gets the milk. Then when he's heading over to the bread place, and he says, you know, you can't have milk without Oreos. So he goes get that double-thick Oreos. And then he goes down the next aisle's got the chips, so he picks up some Doritos. And he's thinking, my, what a wonderful country we live in. This is just great, man. You can have your favorite. So on the way out, he picks up a box of ice cream, and he checks out, goes home. His wife asks, well, where's the bread? Where's the bread? He had to go back for the bread. Jesus is the bread of life, we're told today. Last week, we dealt with the feeding of the 5,000. At the end of that story, the crowd so excited that with Jesus that he fed all of this crowd, 5,000 men, not including women and children. And they want to crown him king. Well, that's not Jesus' purpose. So he gets in the boat and goes over to the other side. Today's lesson occurs just a little while later from that feeding of the 5,000. John tells us that once the crowd realized that neither Jesus or his disciples were at the site where he fed the multitude, they get in their boats and go across. It's kind of like the way they catch fish out here, Jack. When they see your boat, everyone comes in. That's the way they were following Jesus, huh? When they find him on the other side of the lake, and by the way, the Sea of Galilee is a freshwater lake, okay? They say, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, you're not looking for me. Not because you saw the signs I perform, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. And he says to him, don't work for the food that spoils, but work for the food that endures forever, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Don't worry about the food you eat at your table. Worry about the food that will give meaning and purpose and fill you with life and joy and peace and hope. Remember how we said last week that John always uses the word sign instead of miracle when he's describing the wondrous things that Jesus did? Well, John sees these signs as evidence that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the Son of God. He is God incarnate, God himself. And the feeding of the 5,000, the fishes and loaves, is a sign that point to Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, God himself. So Jesus looks out at this crowd who are trying to find, with, you know, thinking they're going to get food. But he says, you need more than food. He says, you're looking for loaves as a sign pointing to Jesus as the Messiah. He says, you're looking for me not because you saw signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. In other words, Jesus is trying to point them toward the spiritual reality, that there's a spiritual dimension to life. It's not about what goes on the table. All they're interested in is having their bellies filled. One of the things I've learned, I remember my folks, whenever they would go traveling, they would come home and talk about all the best eating places. I hear that a lot around here. All the best eating places. What's that place you go to? Toucans? Thursday nights? I mean, everybody's got their place. Ronnie, you head down to Pine Inn. What's the joint out there? It's got the best this and that and Taco Tuesdays. Yeah, we talk about the food that fills our bellies. Jesus is talking about the food that gives meaning and purpose to life. I had a bad week this week. My dog died. I had to put him down, huh? As I stood in that room waiting for the medicine to take place, I kept hoping in the Kichi Manadu, the next dimension. I kept hoping that there is another dimension, another place that we will go. And even my dog will go. One day I'm going to preach on that, Wally. And before I leave, Wally doesn't think animals go because they don't have souls. Is that right? You're going to catch it now, aren't you? Sorry. I should have never pointed you out. But in Genesis, God creates the light and the water and the land and the
And then he says it's good. And then he creates the man and all the animals that they'll have dominion. And he says it's very good. And then he says that in Genesis, he talks about Noah and how he took his wife and his three sons and their wives and two animals of every kind. And when the earth is destroyed, he says, all you go forward and multiply. And he saved those animals. And he says, he promises, I'll never destroy the earth or the animals again. So maybe that tells me that animals will get up. Someday I'm going to preach on that. Isaiah tells us that one day the wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion will browse together. I hope that lion that was shot over in Africa is browsing today. We make a big... Well, don't get me going. Jonah. You know the story of Jonah eaten by this whale? Spit up 3 days later. He goes to Nineveh. God says, you got to tell those Ninevites that they've got 40 days to repent. And Jonah wants these people dead and gone. Jonah wants them gone because they're the enemies. And unbeknownst to him, all those Ninevites pray and fast and roll in the ashes and sackcloth. But when you read the text, Wally, it says the animals did too and God saved them. Why did he save them? Someday I'm going to preach on that. Anyway, today Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. You'll never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. You will be filled with life and joy and peace and hope and all the good things that he promises. It's not about having that taco at Tuesday nights. It's about having that peace that God's going to always take care of you, huh? You see, Jesus is making a profound point in this statement. He says, I am the bread of life, that I think we as Westerners don't fully grasp. For us, bread is optional, you know. We're told when you eat that bread, you're going to get fast, but we enjoy bread. Man, you got varieties of bread in the supermarkets. You go down to that bakery, new bakery in Isle, you see bread. You get white bread and whole wheat bread and multi-grain bread and corn bread and flat bread and cinnamon bread and rye bread and buckwheat bread and Italian bread and French bread and yeasted bread and unleavened bread and sourdough bread. And I could go on. And we get bread as a biscuit and a roll and a waffle and a bagel and a bun and a list. I mean, my favorite are those Long Johns. And I'm not talking about we Northerners, what we put on in the wintertime. In Palestine in Jesus' day, bread was not looked upon as an add-on to a meal. Bread was the essential staple. If you had a piece of bread, you had nourishment for the day. It gave you life. You could survive with bread. It provided life. Jesus is saying to this crowd, and he's saying to us today, I am the one who provides life abundant, life everlasting. I'm not an option. If you really want life, I'm necessary. I'm essential if you really want life. If you really want life. So he's inviting those people, and he's inviting us to immerse ourselves in him, in his spirit. Talk to him. That's what they call prayer, huh? Think on him. Meditate on him. Wonder what he's doing in our lives. I got a brother, that shopper, my brother Willie. I never preach on him. I usually preach on Bayball, a younger brother who was a baby who bawled all the time. Willie, they've kind of had to pull along with his faith journey. He had some friends that signed him up for Promise Keepers, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. Promise Keepers, you know, all these, they had that million man march in Washington. They gathered 25, 30,000 men, and the guy who was the coach of the Colorado Buffaloes led the, and they had bring in great speakers and great musicians. They were having Promise Keepers down in the cities years ago. And they talked to Willie early on, come on down with us. He says, okay, well, it came time to go. And he says, I'm not going to go. I don't want to get involved in that stuff. That's all, you know, he's thinking. He's afraid of emotion anyway. He holds his cards pretty close to his vest, introverted, whatnot. Anyway, his wife says, you go. His buddy says, we're picking you up. So we went. And so while he was there, he heard these great speakers, had these great classes, sang these great songs. And he says the second night, this was like a four-night deal. He said the second night, he ended up singing with 25,000 men, and he got so caught up in the spirit that he had to look down to see that his feet were on the ground. He says, I couldn't believe it. He says, something changed in me. He says, the spirit came over me, and he came home. He doesn't talk in front of public, but the preacher heard this story and asked him to share his testimony. The church has done a disservice. We use the word, share your testimony. No one wants to share their testimonies. Ask Darwin. Never, I'll never share my testimony. But there's a strong Christian. You just look at him. He shared his story, and he told everybody what had happened. He told my younger brother, my two younger sisters, wife and kids, and being the preacher, he's the last one to, he never told me. I heard it through the grapevine. 6 months later, we're sitting around the campfire, just he and I, and I says, I hear you had a spiritual experience. He says, yeah. I says, tell me about it. So he told me just like I told you. And I said, so what? He says, what do you mean? I said, so what? What do you mean? Well, so what's changed about you? Do I need to change? I says, well, anyone can have a feeling of the Spirit. Anyone can have all of this, but unless something changes inside, nothing is going, it's just a feeling that'll go away. I asked him, what do you want to change in your life? He worked at the paper mill up there in Cloquet. He says, those guys, they tell dirty jokes and steal and play tricks on each other. He says, I don't want to do that stuff. I says, okay, you change. Tomorrow, don't participate. If something happens, just walk away. And every day you change, you just walk away, don't listen, don't participate. So a year later, I hear him talking to my brother-in-law, and I hear him say, so what? My brother-in-law says, what? What do you mean? He says, so what? Jimmy says something needs to change in your life if you're going to have it. Otherwise, it's just a feeling that's going to go away. Why do I share that with you today? Because the essential truth that we need to take away with us today is Christ alone can satisfy our deepest needs. Huh? People will do anything to be satisfied in life. In fact, people are searching for life, meaning in life. I mean, the drunkard is looking for life. The drug addict is looking for life. The adulterer is looking for life. The corporate climber is looking for life. Even the American redneck, whatever that is looking for life and meaning and purpose and joy and hope. Each person, I think, this is my take on it, I could be wrong. Each person, we have a void, and that void is the desire for meaning and fulfillment in our lives. Even though all persons are looking for life, many are searching in all the wrong places. You country western fans know, looking for love in all the wrong places. Yeah. Jesus is the life people are looking for. I believe that he can bring you the peace and the meaning that you're looking for. If you follow some of his teachings, if you serve and care for others and reach out and make the world a better place and not worry about me, 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 me. Everyone's searching for something. Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life that will feed you the good things of life. Basically, I think Jesus is saying today, you can't live without me, fully live. He's saying, I'm essential. One last point. When you say the Lord's Prayer today, let's sing the Lord's Prayer today, by the way, Mar. Can you get that music out? When we sing it, yeah, thanks. When we sing that song, the first petition is give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is the daily bread. When we say that part of the Lord's Prayer, huh? He is where we will find healing for our souls. He is the bread of life. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Let's join in singing our offertory hymn, 754. We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Join together in the offertory prayer on the top of page 5. Let us pray together. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. Gathered by the Holy Spirit and fed by the Word, we come together as the people of God to pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Let's take a moment for our silent prayer. We pray for the church. Raise up prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and others who equip the saints for the work of the ministry and build up the body of Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We pray for the restoration of your creation to the beauty you intended. Send rain for the fields so that crops grow and wildlife flourishes. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We pray for leaders around the world. Call them to lead with patience, humility, and gentleness, bearing with one another in love. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We pray for refugees, families who are separated because of war, medical personnel, and emergency workers. We pray for all who are dying, hospitalized, or ill this day. We especially lift up before you our friends Darwin and Janine, Dean and Linda Newman, Ron and Carol Haas, Carol Bipes, be with Roy Goslin, Char Berg as she mends from surgery, and be with those in our lives who need your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We pray for our congregation, that it be ready to welcome those you send to us. We pray for all visitors, those who long for connection with a community, those who are searching for meaning in their lives. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your many blessings in our lives. Thank you for allowing us to live here in this beautiful part of the world. We ask your blessing to be with Dee Olson as she celebrates her 90th birthday. Guard and keep her these days. Keep her close to you. And Lord, if you could watch out for our loved ones, family and friends, we'd ask that you might do that.
We give thanks for the saints with whom we are united in baptism. Sustain us in our lives of faith till we gather with them at the heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy. And to your hands, loving God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in the grace of Jesus our Savior.
Amen.
Let's join together in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
And so we gather at God's holy table this morning, ready to eat the bread of life that gives meaning and purpose and love and joy. Jesus at his last supper took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in singing the Lord's Prayer. Again, all are welcome at the table of our Lord. This morning we'll use intinction, so we'll hand you the bread. You may dip it into the wine or the grape juice. We have gluten intolerant food for you, bread. That's another one I forgot to list. Available for you if you are gluten intolerant. Table is set. Come and eat and drink the bread of life. Will the congregation please rise? The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion on page 6. Let us pray. Wise and generous God, we thank you that at this holy table you have fed us again with the food of everlasting life. Send us with your blessing to seek the good of our neighbor and call others to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now, my almighty and merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep you this day and forevermore.
Amen.
Go in peace, live in love as Christ has loved us.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 543.